Welcome to Portia Patter with Bracken Helms, the show where we hear Bracken and his distinguished guests from the Portia community patter on about Porsches and all things automotive. Portia Patter is sponsored by Circuit 64. Circuit 64 creates authentic automotive apparel made for like-minded automotive enthusiasts. The links for Circuit 64 are in the show notes. Okay, let's get to it.
The Professor Part 3. Okay, in this episode, we get sidetracked a little bit and we're just kind of having car talk. You hear me blabbering more than I usually am. Which, how unlucky is this at the one time that I'm blabbering more than I normally am? Or, I guess to make this correct with the podcast, where I'm pattering about more than I usually am, is the time where my audio's not working as well. So you hear me pattering on more than I normally am, and my audio's not as great. His is fine. Also, you hear the transmission question come up again, and we're talking about that. And it seems like this is just one more person that seems to be the same as everybody else I talk to. But when you get the worldview of it, it seems to not correlate with the people that I've talked to every day. Maybe this is a conspiracy. Let's go down a rabbit hole. Everybody else is right now. Okay, also, someone needs to teach the professor how to drive an automatic, because more and more cars every day are becoming automatics, and it's hard to even find manuals anymore. I think he's going to have trouble in the future unless someone can teach this boy how to drive an automatic. Anyway, here's part three of the professor.
Air-cooled versus water-cooled.
Yeah, I'm not that committed to one or the other. The cars I love the most are the air-cooled Porsches. But that doesn't mean that I don't love the water-cooled Porsches, because I do.
Do you feel that that's kind of chilled out a little bit, mostly because... I think it's one of two reasons. One is, water-cooled's been around for a while now. This isn't like, oh, well, there's been water-cooled for 2 or 3 years. Like, air-cooleds are now really old.
Yeah.
Like, even the latest one. I don't know. There's a lot of roads you can go down. Because now it's like almost like the 996 and 997 people kind of have their own, like, they're kind of tying themselves into air cool a little bit more. Like, oh, I don't have a big one, like a 991 or a 992. So Right. They're kind of distancing themselves.
Right.
Which has always happened, because even like 356 guys were like, fuck, 911s. Right. And then it was like the big bumpers on the G model, but oh, well, you don't have a classic 911. So it's always going to happen.
That is true.
So I think like, it just, there's different levels of it now.
Yeah.
And now you also have like EVs. So it's kind of like, okay, well, I have a Porsche. Like, it's not an EV. Whether it's the latest one, like a 992 or whatever comes next, that's still going to be like, they're going to be like in this special club because it's ICE or internal combustion engine.
Right.
It's still a 911.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite air cooled.
Favorite air-cooled car? Early 911.
Okay. Favorite water-cooled?
Favorite water-cooled Porsche?
Yeah.
Great question. Maybe GT3 Touring, 991 GT3 Touring, 991 Speedster. Yeah, those would do.
What do you like about air-cooled, and what do you like about water-cooled?
I don't really have strong opinions about either, is the truth.
Okay, what would you buy in a Porsche dealership if you went today?
Okay, and I had all the money in the world, right? Well, I'm sort of fascinated by this whole off-roading your 911 trend that's been happening. Porsche is obviously fascinated by it too, because they released the Dakar. The Dakar looks like a lot of fun. I kind of this fantasy about daily driving a Dakar and not heeding any, no off-roading signs. Just going wherever you want.
Right.
Yeah.
Thoughts today on Porsche with like all their models and all their customers?
We don't know what the future of these cars is, but it seems that Porsche, more than many of the classic cars, have held their value or are increasing in value faster than the other cars. So I love some British models too. I love vintage Jaguars, for example. But the market doesn't seem to be overwhelmingly excited about vintage Jaguars. So my thought is maybe one day nobody's going to care about them. I don't know anybody, even our age, who cares about those cars anymore. I mean, one day those cars may be real cheap again. This is my thought. Because, you know, like Model A's and Model T's used to be more expensive at some point, and now nobody wants one, and they're super cheap. So I'm concerned about the 356 market. I know so many 911 dudes who could give fuck all about a 356. And I'm wondering in another 10 years or so if all the 356 guys are going to be gone, and if those cars are actually going to see some depreciation because they're not fast or interesting to the young people the way the 911s are. So maybe there is chance for us to go buy those 356A cabs and coupes in 10 years if the prices come back down. So I just don't know.
When I first moved from Utah, I went to the Blackhawk Museum.
Yeah.
And I remember the guy saying, man, like, people just could give two shits less and less and less and less every year about those old, like, coach built special, like,
yeah,
one off cars, like where they were worth like insane amounts of money,
like a pre-war,
yeah,
French car,
like long and, you know,
yeah,
and fancy like wooden wheels or whatever the hell they had on them, like all sorts of crazy shit. And
yeah,
he's just like saying, like, you know, people just don't care at all, or less and less and less and less. And I can understand that. I mean, as much as I like cars, I could just give two shits about those old, like, weird cars.
Yeah.
And then I just recently, probably within the last 2 weeks, read an article about this person predicting that, like, 57 Chevy Bel Air and those cars like that are, he thinks they're going to start coming down because people are moving on. Like, the generations are not going to care, and the old people that sell them, like,
yeah,
they're going to all of a sudden die.
Yeah.
They're going to go up for sale, and the price is going to come down
because nobody's going to care anymore.
And then I assume that may eventually translate into the muscle car market.
Yeah.
Which now we're talking 60s and early 70s.
Right.
We're already at the point where a lot of people don't drive manuals.
Right.
And then when everybody has a EV, or maybe EVs, maybe something else comes along, but it's probably not going to be gas car forever.
Yeah.
They're going to look back on those like, how the hell am I going to maintain them? Who the hell's going to maintain them for me?
Right.
I don't really know how to drive them. They smell, they stink, whatever.
Yep.
And so, like, maybe just like all gas cars will get to the point where, oh, they're thought after because they don't make them anymore. But it'll get to the point where it'll be like, but why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, if they learned to love them, then it would be. But they're going to be so far advanced by then, they're probably just going to be like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so I can drive it in a parade in 4th of July?
Right. Well, that's the question. Is also, are we going to be able to legally own and drive our cars on public roads one day? Our gross polluting older gasoline-powered cars. So maybe regulations will be such that we won't even be able to have them or drive them.
Right.
And then the prices will surely go down.
911 SC or Carrera 3-2?
I love them both. I've never owned a 3-2. I do own an SC, which is a 3-liter car with a 915 transmission. So a lot of people don't like the 915 transmission. They prefer the G50, right, on the 87, 88, and 89 models. But, you know, it's a more modern, better feeling transmission, I suppose. But one of the things I like about my old cars is they don't feel modern, and they're quirky and weird. You know, the first time you row through a 915 or a 901, it doesn't seem easy or convenient or especially enjoyable. But the more you do it, the easier it becomes. So I feel like I love my 915 transmission. I love my 901 transmission. That I know exactly where the gears are and how to shift quickly between them. And that's a symbiosis that I have with the car. You know, I have this relationship where not anyone can jump in my car and drive it easily, but I can because I'm so accustomed to it. So I'm not in the G50 camp. You know, I love skinny wheels and large steering wheels, right? I don't need a tiny Momo and, you know, 10-inch wide wheels in the rear. I love the way those old 911s were engineered for skinny tires and giant steering wheel with as little input as possible. Yeah, I like to keep my old cars old and my new cars new.
So my next question was 915 or G50.
Yeah.
So I'm glad. That's why I was smiling over here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I answered it. That's more. That's the better question than I think SC or 3.2.
But I mean, I think people are getting better about it. But there was a time where like people kind of mushed them together. Mm-hmm. They had seen the car. Oh, look, they just bumped the leaders up. But they're quite a bit of different car.
Yeah.
My dad's big into SCs. And he's like, I can still feel the 356 a little bit with the SC.
Yeah.
And so, and I can't with yours. So there is a big difference. And it's...
They've dialed out a little of the vintage.
People like
yeah. think. And this is what I love about my SC so much is that it is really the best of both worlds. It's got performance to match modern traffic, but it's got still a vintage feel. You know, the car needs you as the driver to know how to drive it.
And going back to the 915 versus G50, I agree with like what you were saying. I look at it, we're buying old cars.
Yeah.
So they're going to, so everything about them is kind of guy quirky, like you said. So why should the transmission not be?
Right. That's right.
And the reason I bring this question up is because, yeah, there's a G50 camp. I mean, you go and bring a trailer and a G50, the same car brings more money because it's got a G50. And then you read magazines of like some of these people that not all the editors know what they're talking about.
That is true as well.
And so you read them and they're like, oh, you got to buy, if you're going to buy one, you got to buy the G50. Try to buy from 87, 89.
I'm just right.
Saying. When I was looking for my car, he says, find the one that's the best one.
Yeah.
Don't focus on...
On the shifter right. and how short the throws are.
Or, so that or one I found was the best one, and it was a 915. And, you know, he's like, I'm glad I wasn't going to tell you, steer you one way or the other, but I'm glad you got the 915.
If I wanted a really great, easy shifting transmission, I'd buy a Miata.
So this is
going to be... And I like Miatas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then another thing is, like, I think about when I was... younger, like way younger, my dad got like a video. It was a VHS in the mail, and it was to push the 993. It was like a promotion video. Uh-huh. I have the whole thing memorized. Uh-huh. But at one point, Jeff Zwart says, you know, I get in so many of these other cars every day, and I get in the car and I learn the car instantly, and there's not much more I can do. Whereas with the Porsche, every day I get in, I've learned a little bit more about it, mm-hmm. and I fall in love with the car, mm-hmm. you know, something to that effect. Mm-hmm. And that kind of goes back to the transmission. Like, yeah, the 915 is you're gonna have to learn how to drive it a little bit.
Yeah.
But once you know how, it's gonna be rewarding. Like, you know how to drive it.
Yeah, yeah. Though that's a great point. And the quirky handling characteristics of a 911 are something that I haven't mastered and may never master. And I get better at driving my car the more I do it. So there's always a challenge there for me. I don't want it to be too easy or too convenient. I want to work for it a little bit.
And I was at the Lit Show probably 2 years ago, and I was talking to this guy for a while, and he had a Carrera with a 915 and a Carrera with a G50, he said, for years. He's like, I don't know why I have two of the same car virtually. I mean, one has a 915, one has a G50, but... And I'm picking his brain like we're doing now. And he says, I like the 915 because it's lighter. And I'm like, okay. Like, at that time, I wasn't even sure one was lighter than the other. And so I'm like, you can feel that? And he's like, when you're driving these cars and you've got two of the same ones in your driveway and you're driving them both, you start noticing things. And he's like, the 915 drives lighter. I'm like, you can really feel that? And he's like, yeah, I sold the G50 because I like the way the other one drives. It drives lighter.
Interesting.
And what's the weight difference on that?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. That's what I'm thinking. You just go to the gym for a month and your car's faster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, 964-993.
All your questions are interesting, Bracken. This is it's been thought-provoking. I'm going to go with 993. I know everyone loves the 964. I have loved the 964.
Everybody loves them now.
Now.
Like all of a sudden they were the ugly stepchild.
They were.
Not that long ago.
They were. Those bumpers were polarizing for a while, and now it's the car to have. But I really loved the styling of the 993. I think they did a great job of completely changing the 911. And I like it. the 993 that I would choose would be a base, maybe 95 or 96, just, you know, rear wheel drive.
Would you pick the 95 or 96? Some people prefer like the older one because of reliability, but some people like the bare ram because it's a little bit faster.
Right. So the 95 is easier to get through California emissions, right? The 96 has more issues.
Right.
I like the aesthetically, I like the 96 because the third taillight is at the top of the rear window rather than in that little bridge thing like we see on the cabs. So I'd probably go with 96 for the aesthetics.
996 or 997?
997. I'm a round headlight guy is really what it comes down to.
PDK or manual?
Well, I don't know how to drive an automatic, so I'd have to choose manual. I know the PDK is faster, quicker lap times, and so on, but I like to engage as many limbs as possible.
Okay, this next question I call the Nissan like Skyline GTR effect.
Mm-hmm.
They brought it, and all the magazines were like, oh, you know, it does everything,
Japanese Ferrari.
Yeah, it's the greatest thing ever. Like within months, they kind of became a little bit bored. Well, it does do everything for you. Like I'm kind of missing some of this. So my question is, do you feel like some Porsches are getting that way, the new ones? I mean, they just do so much for you. Does that make it more fun or less fun?
For me, more nannies equals less fun. Obviously, I mean, it's the PDK question again, too. You know, I don't need the fastest lap time. I just want to have a good time and have driver involvement.
Okay, so this next one's like, I'm going to ask it like a question, but you don't really have the answer. So I guess it's more of just like us blabbering back and forth.
We'll muse.
Will they make a car for the ultimate enthusiast again?
Yeah.
And so
The Lotus Elise, although now that's probably a vintage car.
Yeah.
That was their intent, I think. Right. Let's bring old world motoring back.
Right.
So that's a car I'm interested in. But the future, I don't know. Depends on...
Porsche always does things that surprise you. Like that 911R came out of left field to me. Kind of like, we're not doing transmission anymore, but we're going to make a fun car. We're going to call it a 911R.
Or how about the Carrera T?
Yeah.
And you're like, they're listening to their customers going, okay, you don't want a sunroof. You don't want an automatic transmission. You want a base model that's a little bit lighter weight. So that gives me hope for the future of driving enthusiasts.
A lightweight, not very expensive. Like, obviously, that's going to hurt them because they're a higher-end car. But like you could make, like, maybe a pricier one that's, like, obviously, understand you got it. Emissions and stuff and safety now. You got to add a lot of weight to cars now. But still, they can make it, like, as simple as you can. Just, like, the whole point of this car is not, like, speed, top speed. It's all just, like, light and feeling.
Yeah. I mean, I hope there's a market for that. You know, I hope that by selling so many SUVs, the company will also allow their product line to include some strippers, some base models, some cars that don't require technology other than
skilled driver. I can see why they're concerned. I mean, they have less concern because Porsche enthusiasts are a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But I can see the concern. Like, what is with manufacturers doing what enthusiasts want and then enthusiasts giving them the middle finger?
Yeah.
Like,
We
want wagons. We want cool wagons like you're in Europe. They come out with a wagon. We're not going to buy it.
Uh-huh.
Or like, there's so many cars I could think of. Like the Chevrolet SS.
Uh-huh.
Recently that like sedan thing. Like, well, why can't we have like a fun car? Like, I want it kind of like a Dodge Charger that's like kind of cool. I don't like Mopar. But if you can make that, but like make it sporty for us. And Chevy made that SS and they sold so little of them. Yeah. And now on the used market, they're worth like quite a bit now.
Oh, they are. Oh, yeah. I guess time will tell. I mean, speaking about the Carrera T, and that's supposed to be, you know, the purest car again, you still have to get power windows. I wish they'd offered that thing with roll-up windows, and no power door locks, and just let's just go back to basics.
But I did see an article that was on in one of these magazines, like probably 10 years ago, he was trying to buy the first 997. So we're talking like 2005, 2006. And he was trying to buy a base model. It was like in one of the European, like GT Porsche. It was the European or English magazines or whatever. And he went in and with the dealership was just like running his mouth like, I don't want this. I don't want this. I want it. And they ordered it and they came in, not like what he said. Uh-huh. Porsche just sent it anyway. And he's like, no, I don't want these options. And it took him like 3 or 4 tries to get it to be a low-end car.
I've heard those stories before.
Thanks for joining us for today's episode. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, comment, like, and share with your friends. Feel free to send questions or suggestions to the email in the description of the show. Special thanks to our sponsor, Circuit 64. Goodbye for now. We hope we can get together again for our next episode. Now get out there and enjoy the cars and the people.